All right, everybody, you know how much I love TrueCar because it's changing car buying forever. TrueCar helps car buyers get rid of the fear that they might overpay. Just in the first 6 months of this year, over 275,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network, and TrueCar users save, get this, an average of $3,221 off manufacturer's suggested retail price. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, go to TrueCar.com to find out what others paid for the car you want. Then, register to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third step, very simple. Just print out your savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. To see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the TrueCar mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's podcast. Very special edition. I have Gilbert Gottfried as my guest. Just came up, Celebrity Apprentice. Brilliant comedian. Out of his mind, but brilliant. And we did a special taping with Gilbert. Live, filmed for television in front of a studio audience in New York City at a really cool comedy venue called The Village Underground, comedy cellar at The Village Underground. And this will eventually come out for television or online, but I wanted you to hear the audio of it. Really interesting conversation with Gilbert about, he's gotten into a lot of controversy. He lost his job as the Aflac duck because he made some what were deemed inappropriate comments after the tsunami in Japan, and he's gotten in trouble for comments and jokes about 9/11, shortly after 9/11. And I really want you to understand what makes this guy tick. It's a lot of what I do on my podcast. It's super funny, but also really insightful about him and what the way his really interesting, strange, bizarre, and funny mind works. I'm really excited about this, and we also had some fun comedy bits that we did as part of it. Check it out. Tell your friends and send a link around because this is a real special one. Gilbert Gottfried, check it out.
Village Underground. It's the Paul Mercurio Show. Tonight's guest, Gilbert Gottfried. And now, please welcome Paul Mercurio.
Really appreciate you coming. That's our show. Thanks for coming. No, very happy you're here. Thanks for watching at home. We got a great show. Very excited to have my guest, Gilbert Gottfried, here. We're going to get to Gilbert in a minute, but before we get to Gilbert, I wanted to do like a little something different, a little Q&A with the audience. You can ask me a question, and we'll see what happens. So anybody have any questions for anybody? Yes, go ahead.
You were a corporate lawyer before becoming a comedian. How hard was that decision to throw your life away and become a comedian?
I don't know, but the question and the way you said it, it was like getting shit on twice.
What do you do?
I'm a management consultant.
Oh, so you're even a bigger asshole than I was. What area are you consulting?
I try to keep the banks honest through anti-money laundering stuff.
I don't even know what you just said.
I was a corporate lawyer, and I was like, oh, I want to be a comedian. And I started writing jokes, sold some jokes, I got on TV, on The Tonight Show, and then one thing led to another. And I came home to my wife one day, and I said, I think I want to leave Wall Street to be a comedian. And she looked me in the eye, and she said, that better be your first joke. Next question.
What do you have in your pockets right now?
What do I have in my pockets right now? All right. I got some money. I got some chapstick because the lips are big. And I got my son gave me this for good luck before I left for the show tonight. His favorite dinosaur. Isn't that cute? Yeah. He's 15. But anybody. Oh, yes, ma'am. Oh, very lovely. How are you? Good. Do you have a boyfriend?
It's complicated, but...
Wait, let's talk.
I know.
Where is he?
It's complicated.
Did you kill him?
No.
Go
so
ahead.
Here's my question for you.
Yes.
Given what you do, is there like any word or phrase that you will never use or never say?
That's a good question. Actually, there is, but someday I hope to own an NBA franchise, so I'm not going to say it here. We're going to move this along. You know him as the voice of Iago on in the movie Aladdin. He is a favorite on the Comedy Central roasts as well as the Howard Stern Show. He's a star of The Aristocrats, and he is, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, the comedian's comedian I'm honored to have on my show, Gilbert Gottfried.
That's the most action I've had in a while. Yes.
I see you're a little,
Yes, yes, I'm trying to hide my erection.
Well, I think you just gave it away by saying you had one.
Yeah, see, that's the stupid part of it. Trying to hide it and going, hey, I don't want people to see my erection. Yeah.
Your voice goes up when you say erection.
Yeah. It turns into Jerry Lewis. Erection! I don't want them to see my boy, little eyes. Hey, lady, would you like to holler?
So I want people to, everybody knows you're as a comedian, but I want them to know you as Gilbert and what you're about and what makes you tick a little bit. He pushes the edge, he's pushing the envelope, as they say. And I want to tell you a little story that sums up this part of Gilbert. Sadly, a couple years ago, there was a shooting at a movie theater in Aurora, Colorado, and Gilbert's agent called him up and pleaded with him not to do jokes about it. I proved my point. And the reason is that Gilbert has had a history of, in the face of tragedy, particularly using humor. By the way, what did you say to your agent when he called you and said that?
I said, me?
So he got himself in trouble and lost your job as the voice, the duck of Aflac, because you made some tsunami jokes after the tsunami earthquake in Japan, which apparently Aflac has 75% of their business in Japan. And just for people who don't know, say a couple of the jokes that you tweeted.
Oh, do you have any of them written down?
You lost a job and you can't
yes.
remember?
Yes. Okay. Japan is really advanced. They don't go to the beach comes to them. I feel the earth move and I'm getting wet. I just split up with my girlfriend, but like the Japanese say, there'll be another one floating by any minute. I was talking to my Japanese real estate agent. I said, is there a school in this area? She said, not now, but just wait. Japanese doctor advised me to stay healthy. I need 50 million gallons of water a day.
Now, they're laughing now, okay? But when it happened, you probably wouldn't have laughed, which gets to an issue that Gilbert has, which is there's a hypocrisy about having to wait. You've gotten yourself in trouble. We'll get to it in a minute. You did a 9/11 joke 2 weeks after 9/11. And you've said that tragedy and comedy are roommates. One always follows the other. That's your quote.
Yes.
And explain to people why you go there and why you think it's okay and appropriate for you to go there.
Well, I did say that, and I think wherever there's tragedy, comedy's behind it, like making faces and sticking its tongue out. And it, like, I remember it's where it's like, I think, like, you know, before the internet started, I don't think before the internet, it was like any tragedy, there were immediately 10 jokes that everyone knew before, like, the internet. So those have always been around. And I always wanted to be the first one to tell it.
Why?
I don't know. It wakes the audience up, number one.
Do you get bored? Is it a way to keep yourself interested?
Yeah,
because you can. I mean, as a comic, you can. No, seriously. You get bored with your act and sort of kind of going along the way you should go. I mean, Carlin, who I know you look up to and we all look up to, said the comedian's job is to see where the line is and cross it. And you seem to have taken that mantle and in spades. And a lot of comedians admire you for that, but you've gotten yourself in a lot of trouble. Do you ever feel like, well, let me back off, let me maybe, you know, I'm getting older, let me look at this from a different perspective?
Well, like, people ask me, do you think twice now before you say something? And I always say, I think twice, but I say it anyway. And the funniest thing, the funniest tweet I got was somebody tweeted me and said, Affleck fires Gilbert Gottfried after discovering he's a comedian. And the thing about
Which is a great, which the point is they knew what they were getting when hired you.
Yes.
Right.
And the thing about waiting, you know, there's that old saying like, tragedy plus time equals comedy.
Right.
And I always figured, well, what's the wait for?
Right.
Say it right away. And there's this feeling like a year after it happened, I would hear tsunami jokes. And I figured, oh, so now a joke is a joke and no longer a crime against humanity. Mm.
And this is an hypocrisy that Gilbert feels strongly about, and you talk about, he has a Playboy article coming out called...
You can see my dick in it.
I could feel that coming.
Yes.
Did you...
I wish any woman could. You can feel me coming. This has been a strange night.
It's like,
you know, when people wait and then they say a joke, I feel like that's a more cruel and meaner joke.
How so?
Because, funny you should ask. Because, like, when you say a joke and it's obviously a sick joke, you are acknowledging that the tragedy occurred and it was a tragedy. When you wait, it's kind of like saying, well, I waited a year, so now I can joke, fuck the people who died.
You feel like it trivializes the death of those people.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
Yes.
And for you, is it a coping mechanism? Is it a defense mechanism? Is it your way of dealing? Is it you just can't deal with it emotionally, so it's your...
And it is funny. I have used the analogy of funerals Because when at any funeral, you'll always see people like leaning over with a smirk on their face, saying something to the other guy, and the other going, go, oop. and it's like, so that means by covering the mouth, I know it's wrong. I know this is wrong, but I'm laughing.
Part of me wants it.
There was a woman whose parents had been in the Holocaust, and
wait, back up and tell the whole story. Yeah. I'm glad you brought this up because Gilbert lives this in his private life. He'll go there when he's not on stage, not on radio, and not on television. This is who he is. Give them the background. It's Amy Heckerling's...
Amy Heckerling, the director.
She directed Fast Times at Ridgemont High, blah, blah, blah.
And I was going over to her house.
Now, the reason you're going over there is you're too cheap to take a cab. He's the cheapest, right? You're cheap.
See, now I think you've gone over the line.
frugal.
Yeah. you were going, how do I say Jew? How do I say cheap kite where it's not a child offensive?
You don't have a Jew nose. Oh, he says the Jew thing, you laugh. I say it. Look, they sigh.
Here, watch. Jew nose! It's the delivery. So I was going over to Amy Heckerling's house, and she sends her babysitter for her daughter, who was about 3 years old at the time. And she was a German Jew, and she was talking to me on the ride over about how her parents had been in the camps. And I said, how much weight did they lose? And do you get scared when you go in the shower? To me, it's a bad taste joke. It's like a roller coaster ride. You go on the roller coaster thinking you're gonna die, and then you come out okay, and you're laughing about it.
You're more profound than I thought you were. That must be the Jew in you.
See, here, I'll say it. It must be the Jew in you. See, it just... Immediately, I'm turning into Tevye.
So in the Jewish culture, this means I love you. And what is this? What is that?
What can I do? How do you want?
So you're on your own path, which is admirable on any level, right? So 9/11 happens. You're doing a roast of Hugh Hefner, and you go up, and you decide to do a joke about 9/11 2 weeks after 9/11.
Yeah, I said I have to leave early tonight. I had to fly out to L.A. I couldn't get a direct flight. We have to make a stop at the Empire State Building. Yeah, see?
I think we lost them.
Yes.
Quick, do a cute Jew thing.
Jew!
So that was kind of the reaction.
Yeah. Worse. Whatever bad reaction it was, I mean, it was like going to the bottom level of hell. It was like people were booing and hissing and chairs were moving. And I was up there. If you had told me I was there for 200 years, that's what I would believe it.
Yeah,
that's what it felt like.
When it goes bad, it feels like a long, long time. But now you knew you were going to get that
reaction.
Oh,
yes.
And you thought about it. Did you discuss it with your wife that you were going to do this?
No. I just went. Yeah.
And did you? And what? Honestly, give me an honest answer. No jokes. Why?
I wanted to be like the first one to make a joke about it because it felt like it was needed. It was like I live in New York, and I remember walking around the city, and I saw like on fences there were photos of people.
Yeah.
And it was like these people were hoping against hope that these people who died in the World Trade Center were just like had amnesia and would someday come home to them. And it was smoke in the air. And yeah.
Do you feel on some level that that's kind of your mission or your job or your calling a little bit as a comedian to kind of create some levity for people when they need it or it may not seem appropriate? Do you kind of internally... are you driven by that agenda a little bit?
Well, I remember one guy wrote an article about it for New York Observer, and he said about, because I followed it with the aristocrats joke, and he said it was kind of like that I had performed a mass tracheotomy on the crowd. And it was so that I liked. I mean, I don't want to be a Christ figure up
here. Oh, trust me, you're not.
Yeah.
So then he.
Other
does...
than the Jew part, I.
And this, a lot of that.
Yes, yes. A Jew going like this. Other than that, yeah. I'm not a Christ figure.
You don't want to do that near a lumberyard.
Yes.
Really? He gets. He
you
gets
don't want to do that to in a lumberyard.
So then he does, probably in my opinion as a performer, the single most brilliant thing ever. He's getting booed and hissed at a roast, probably 2,000 people. And by the way, it's a Hugh Hefner roast. Not like he is sort of the classiest guy in the world, right?
Yes.
It's not like you're...
Yes, you always hold Playboy with one hand anyway. And
so he's in front of 2,000 people getting booed and hissed, and what do you do next? And why? Tell them why you do it.
I figure I was already as lost as I could possibly be. I was on the bottom level of hell. There was nothing... further, might as well go even deeper. So I went into the aristocrats joke, which is about, you know, it's like incest and bestiality and all types of disgusting bodily fluids. And the audience was cheering. They're laughing, applauding, and it's the room explodes with laughing. And that's why that reporter said a mass tracheotomy. It was like they cut open their throats and finally the air got in or out, whatever happened.
So maybe you've got a great idea for a business and want to start selling your products or services online. Maybe you're an established business owner looking for new customers, or maybe you're interested in starting a personal website. No matter who you are, GoDaddy wants to help you succeed online. Right now, GoDaddy is offering a .com domain for just, get this, $1.49. You know, you can't get $1.49 for $1.49. That's a bargain, people. It's go time. Start your website today. Visit GoDaddy.com and enter promo code Paul149. That's Paul149, all one word. To get your $1.49.com. Some limitations apply. See website for details. All right, I want to do something a little different. I want everybody to meet. I'm going to interview and talk a little bit with ninth grade Gilbert Godfrey. Isn't that adorable? Thanks for being here, Gilbert.
Thanks. And you know, I'm expecting to grow up good looking by what I look like in this picture.
Now, you're in ninth grade. If I were to open your locker, what would I find?
I didn't have a locker.
Why?
It wasn't, not every kid in school was like Saved by the Bell.
Is there a teacher you have a crush on?
Yes, I had a French teacher who used to wear miniskirts and sit on her desk and fold her legs.
And did you think about doing things with her?
Well, I thought about doing things to anybody and anything. If I saw a truck go by, I would jerk off to it.
So, if a cheerleader and a jock were walking down the hallway toward you, what would you do? Wow. It's amazing you could jerk off and not sweat.
Yeah. See, this is a sign of learning, you know, like drummers have to learn that, to go up and down like this and go back and forth. And it's like, it's impossible.
It's to make the jerk off masturbation believable. You gotta move the head the right way.
Yeah.
Wait, are you jerking off or blowing yourself?
If I could blow myself, I'd have a much happier life.
That's your next book title.
No, Tolstoy already wrote that.
If you had to describe yourself in three words as a ninth grader, what would they be?
A short, annoying Jew.
Do you like your parents?
Yes.
That didn't feel sincere.
Yes. Yes, Your Honor.
Do you sleep with the light on?
No, I sleep with a hard on.
That's great, Gilbert Gottfried. Now, the thing that's fascinating to me is you had this transformation as a comedian because, you know, you started out, you grew up in Brooklyn, you lived above your father's hardware store.
Yes.
And you had a tendency, you loved late night television.
Yes. TV was the greatest film school in the country. And it's like, you'd have like on one channel all the great gangster movies, Bogart, Cagney, and Robinson, and then there'd be another channel with, you know, horror films, and it would be Karloff, Lugosi, and Chaney Jr., and I was hooked.
And the kids loved the old movies, or your son Max?
Yes. I'm the proudest moment I had with him was just, he just turned 5 recently. The proudest moment I had with him, number one, he was watching The Three Stooges. And as he was watching The Three Stooges, he said, "Shemp looks like Lon Chaney Jr. in The Wolfman." And I thought, that's it.
That's great.
That made me proud.
What was it about those films? And by the way, you now have a podcast on iTunes, number one rated podcast for TV and film on iTunes. Tell people the title. I love the title.
It's Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast.
Did it fascinate you because did it transport you? Were you like not happy at school, or was it a tough environment?
Oh, sure. I hated school.
Your mom signed you up for art classes at the Brooklyn Museum, and you started making puppets. You started to do puppet shows, right?
Yeah, I looked through my report cards. She had saved them, and it all said, you know, I suck at math and English and history, but in art, I'm like drawing pictures, and the other kids are laughing, and then I started making puppets out of paper mache, and so I started doing that, and I put on puppet shows.
Would you masturbate to the puppet?
Well, why would you even ask that? So, yeah, I made these little puppets, and I would throw a blanket over the table, and I'd put on a puppet show one time I did Dracula, And I this is the show, Special Effects. Back then, I took an ice cream stick, broke it in half, so both parts were pointed, and I painted one stick red. And I held it, the puppet held it, hidden from the audience. And the other puppet took the other stick, drove it into him, then I pulled out the bloodied ice cream stick. That's impressive. Fuck all of you, I was fine. And I did a Jekyll and Hyde where I hid an Alka-Seltzer in a cup and poured water so it starts bubbling.
Why are you escaping into these characters? What's the thing for you? Are you having a senior moment?
Oh, yes.
And so you have this facet, and what were some of the impressions you were doing?
I would do, and it's funny, like, I did Boris Karloff, so even back then my act was dated. And just recently on the Amazing Colossal podcast, I interviewed Sarah Karloff, his daughter.
That whore?
Yes.
You wash your hands afterwards?
And I called her up. I said, would you like to be on the show? And she said, I'd love to be on the show.
You can recite from some, like, recite some lines from Casablanca to me.
Oh, okay. Well, there was like quick one-line parts there. There was, Rick, you have to help me. You've got to do something. I stick my neck out for nobody.
Can you recite a porn film?
Oh.
So you're doing all these impressions, you're telling jokes, and your sisters say to you, you can go do comedy in New York City at the Bitter End, right?
Yes. And so I, with nothing prepared, we took the train into Manhattan, and I went on and just signed my name.
They had to go with him on the subway because he was 15.
Yeah.
And no one wanted this creepy kid alone in the city.
I took the stick and I went like that, and it was like that. Fuck you, I was 5.
Who wants that running around the city?
You want to see my Alka-Seltzer?
L'chaim, is that what you said?
Yeah, you really don't have it down there.
You can't heckle a guy who's trying to be a Jew for a second.
That's going to be my next book, Jew for a Second.
So we go on the train and...
And we went to the Bitter End, and I put my name down. And it's like, and one day I'll have them close for allowing a 15-year-old into a place that served alcohol. But I went on stage and I did mainly impressions. And I don't know whether I did great or bombed, but...
How did it feel when you got off?
Well, I
should have seen that coming.
Yes, I could see it coming. I could turn anything into a dick joke, okay?
So you get off and you decide, and you're 15, and you decide, I'm gonna.
And then after a while, I came back, and then after a while, I started becoming addicted to it. whether I liked it or not, there was some kind of addiction to doing stand-up. I don't know. I just said I don't know. What the fuck is the matter with you? I said I don't know. Listen to what I'm saying.
I'm so glad I teabagged that water you're drinking.
That's why it tastes so good.
Paul Macario's teabagged water.
When I sipped it, I said, this tastes like balls. That's my new commercial. And it tastes like balls.
What is it about comedy? I know you've said something about comedy that in terms of, you know, you look at the Brad Pitt and Johnny Depp. And I
thought, like, in the real world, if you don't know how to tie your shoelaces, you're a stupid asshole. But if you read that Johnny Depp doesn't know how to tie his shoelaces, you go, oh, what an eccentric genius artist Johnny Depp is. And so that always attracted me to it.
There's a great story that I just heard about you yesterday. You went to Massachusetts to visit an autistic boy, hopefully without an erection.
No, I always I visit little boys with an erection. I'm sorry, it just happens. Woo! And I'm currently looking for Cub Scout work.
So Gilbert went to visit this boy. This boy, there's a documentary being made about this boy called Animating Owen, right?
Yes.
And it's a little boy, autistic boy, who keyed into particularly your voice, Iago, in Aladdin, and wasn't able to communicate, but has been able to communicate now through Disney movies, and particularly your voice, and do Disney dialogue. It's an amazing, amazing story. He's going to be in a documentary that's coming out later this year. Tell people about your visit to see him up in Massachusetts and what that was like.
Well, there was an article that appeared in the New York Times out of nowhere. Not out of nowhere. They interviewed the guy and they typed it out. It wasn't out of nowhere.
So somebody wrote an article.
So they wrote an article. That means shut the fuck up, Gilbert, and tell us the story.
No!
No!
No! That's you being an insecure comic. Shut up! Boy, your erection's getting bigger by the minute.
So they wrote an article about this guy, Ron Suskind, who's a Pulitzer Prize winning author, and he had a son who was autistic, who he couldn't speak to. The son wouldn't speak to him. But the son watched Aladdin over and over and over again. And finally, the father put on the puppet from Aladdin, you know, Iago, the parrot, and he started talking to him. This is talking. And the son started answering him.
In your voice?
Yes. And
which was not the voice I would have chosen, but...
And he asked him, you know, how are you? How do you feel? And the son started talking to the parrot, saying, well, I don't have any friends, and I'm alone, and I feel bad.
Thanks for bringing the room down.
Yes.
You have no instinct.
And I've got cancer. And I have lupus.
I've been doing this a while. Never heard lupus used and get a laugh.
And I'm thinking of hanging myself after you go to sleep. So... So he started.
You know, I really don't give a shit about this kid.
Yeah, I don't care either.
just be funny. Be dirty and be funny. No, go ahead. He's hammered, by the way.
Yes. Now, so the kid started a Disney club, at his school, and then I visited the school and did the parrot for them, because that's so different from the way I usually talk.
And I was going to say, when you got the role of the parrot, did you live with parrots for a while?
Yeah.
Did you shit on newspaper? Did you tell your wife, go fuck yourself? What was your method?
Yes, I worked like Meryl Streep. I thought of doing a Polish accent. And the kid said, I'm thinking of cutting my wrist open in a way that they can't be sewed back together. Okay.
So does he call you Uncle Gilbert now?
No, that gets into another category. I can't. That my lawyer told me not to speak about it.
Well, it's a very nice thing you did.
Thank you.
Amazing that you were able to get someone to talk, which is perfect because you never shut the fuck up. And why do you squint? I've always wanted to ask you that.
Yeah,
I'm not mocking you. I love you. Don't get me wrong. But,
Because I grew up on Mr. Magoo cartoons. Magoo, you've done it again.
Do you ever go into impressions during sex? I'll take that as
sometimes,
a yes.
Sometimes I'll go into Paul Lynn. And I'll go, oh, I'm coming.
What we're going to do is someone, our host, is going to read setups to jokes, and we're going to see who can come up with the most outrageous or interesting or funny punchline. And you got to hit this little buzzer when you want to buzz in, and then you go. Okay, so let's try it. Start with our first one. You ready for Punchline Deathmatch 4000? Here we go.
How many rabbis does it take to change a light bulb?
It takes 100. One rabbi to change the light bulb, and the others to talk about why did it need to be changed?
I got nothing. All right, next one.
What do you call a stripper with a skin rash?
Mom? You got one?
Yeah, part of me was going, the first thought that went in my mind, and it's totally obscure and makes no fucking sense. The first thing that went in my mind was Flash Gordon.
That's why we love
that.
You have a mind that cannot be explained.
Yeah, and then I thought, I understand the Flash part, but what does Gordon have to
do? Next one.
I once dated a woman with Tourette syndrome. The only weird part was when we had sex, she kept screaming out blank.
Clean words.
Let's do another one.
Why don't blind people go skydiving?
We already have enough stumps?
Yeah.
Why do you groan when I go blue? And with him, you're like, ah! Because he's a...
Jew! Jew!
Let's do the next one.
Adolf Hitler and Gandhi are playing golf. Gandhi says, you accidentally hit my ball. Hitler says, blank.
See, that sounds like the joke right there. I don't think it even needs a punchline.
No, it, no. That's...
Gandhi says, you hit my ball, and Hitler says, black.
What does Hitler say?
Okay. Oh, wow.
Flash Gordon?
He says Flash Gordon.
Can we just set up again?
Adolf Hitler and Gandhi are playing golf. Gandhi says, you accidentally hit my ball. Hitler says, blank.
That's not the worst thing I'll be doing.
Gilbert Godfrey, everybody. Now, I want to introduce you to five-year-old Gilbert.
Get ready.
Not to be mean, but you have a very large head for a five-year-old. Is everything okay?
Well, like the Elephant Man would say years later, maybe my head is so big. Because it's so filled with ideas.
If one of your toys could come to life, which one would you want it to be?
My sister's Barbie doll.
I didn't expect that.
See, it's a dick joke, I know.
Do you know the truth about Santa?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. He was something dreamt up by the Gentiles.
Show me on this doll where the man touched you.
I need two fingers. Here, wait. I need two hands. There. You know, somewhere Anthony Hopkins is doing the same thing on a toilet.
That's 5-year-old Gilbert Godfrey. All right. So that is the great comedian, my lovely friend and insane human being, Gilbert Godfrey. I was so excited to have him on and really excited that I was able to try to get him to kind of open up about who he is and what makes him tick a little bit, and hope you got a better understanding of him beyond just being the guy with the funny jokes and the funny voice. A really interesting guy that has reasons for doing what he does. And this is a classic case of don't judge a book by its cover. I'm really excited to have him, and I want to thank the Comedy Cellar for use of the venue, and this eventually will be something that you can see as a television show, so keep your eyes peeled. But I hope you enjoyed it, and I was really excited to have Gilbert on. Coming up tour-wise, check out my dates on my Facebook page and my website. In February, I will be first 2 weeks of February in New York City, then February 19th to the 21st at the Baltimore Comedy Factory in Baltimore, and February 25th to March 1st, Edmonton, Canada, the Comic Strip Comedy Club in Edmonton, Canada, and more dates after that. Thanks for checking out the podcast. Send it around to your friends. You guys are the best.